The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Cindy. I'm going to invite you to open the Word of the Lord with me today. Our scripture is going to be in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26 through verse 38. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Let's pray together. Father, as we have heard your word read, we remember, Jesus, how you have told us that your word is truth, and how you prayed for your disciples before you ascended into heaven. You prayed that we would be sanctified by your truth, that we would be set apart, that we would be different, we would be made to become like Jesus through the word of God, which is truth. So we know that as we seek to open your word, we rely fully on you. Thank you for how throughout this service already, as we have sung, as we have prayed together, we have already encountered you today. We would pray that you would help us in these moments, that you would speak to us for your honor, for your glory, that you would open our hearts to receive once again the wonderful gift you give us in giving us your Son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The love of a mother is a wonderful thing. I can't help but think about Christmas without going back down memory lane and thinking of my mom. If anybody in my family personified Christmas and still does to this day, it is my mother. She had so many wonderful traditions, so many wonderful memories, from matching pajamas the night before Christmas, little cups of eggnog with candy canes to dip in the eggnog. If you've never tried that, you should. Listening to Christmas music. So many wonderful memories that were created by my mom. And the love of a mother is such a special thing. And for those who are moms here today, you understand that. For those of you who can remember perhaps your mother or your grandmother or others who gave you that motherly love, it is such a special, sacred thing. You know, in our passage today, we encounter two moms-to-be, Elizabeth, who is older, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. We have two pregnancies, miraculous pregnancies. We have an encounter where Elizabeth and Mary meet together, and we see their tender, affectionate love that they have for their not only their children-to-be, but also for one another. We see a family here. And if we just reduce this text, it'd be easy for us to maybe just celebrate that motherly love as good as it is. But their love points us to a far, far greater love. And I want us to look at that love today. Because what's taking place that Luke points us to is really the beginning of something new. Of God stepping into this broken, this fallen world to give us His love. To give us the greatest gift He could ever give us. The gift of Himself, His Son, to come to us. And the love of God has very much to do with faithfulness. You heard in this passage as God is unfolding in all history for all people, the sending of His Son. We have the old, in a sense, with Elizabeth and her son-to-be, who will be John the Baptist, that promised messianic forerunner who will prepare the way for God's Messiah, God's Savior sent to the world. He is, in a sense, the last of the prophets of the Old Testament. And here we have this miraculous birth of this barren woman who reminds us so much of the promise in the past, how God could do extraordinary things in bringing about His plan of salvation. Whether it's Sarah and Abraham, we could go back to the promise. The promise of a descendant for Sarah was Isaac, and Abraham was their son Isaac. But beyond that, there was a promise of another who would come. We have this miraculous birth. Then we have Mary, who is engaged, but yet she's a virgin, and she is now with child in this miraculous giving of a child that is born of a virgin but conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. We have God intervening in human history on a grand scale. But the greatest miracle here is the gift of the love of God to fallen, sinful humanity. And as much as we could celebrate the different characters, in fact, as a kid, one of my favorite Christmas traditions was to get underneath the Christmas tree, and we had a nativity set, and it was an old one, and my sister and I would play with the nativity set. Maybe that's sacrilegious, I don't know, because usually we'd bring in G.I. Joes, and there'd be some, I had a farm set, there'd be all kinds of, maybe a tank would come in, I don't know. But I loved playing with the characters of the Nativity set, each individual character. And then on a deeper level, I love the story of Christmas. And we celebrate the wise men. We think of the shepherds. We see Mary. We see Joseph. And we think of those characters. But all those characters that we read about, including in our text today, Mary and Elizabeth, are pointing us to the greater unconditional love of God that is just as much about today as it was to 1,000 years ago. Jesus is God's gift to all people. The declaration that Mary is highly favored and that God is with her is not just for her, but it's meant for the whole world, that God is intervening and God is bringing about His Savior, not just for Mary. This isn't just a gift for Mary. This isn't just a gift for Elizabeth, but it's a gift for all people. His name is Emmanuel. We sang that song, O come, Emmanuel, which means God with us. It points us to the fact that God is being born into the world in the person of Jesus. We remember those words. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. You see, Mary is the focal point of this story, but the true message that we find in our passage today is really about the faithfulness and the love of God entering into the world. You see, this simple reading today reminds us that the world has not been forgotten, that you, this year, have not been forgotten. God is faithful to humanity, and He's faithful to you and to me because God is love. And a great miracle of Christmas is that we are not forgotten. God draws near to us out of His great love. Regardless of our faithfulness to God, God remains faithful to us. In fact, the story of the Old Testament is the constant failure of God's people to live fully up to what God had asked them to do. And they constantly fail, but yet God does not fail. He sends His Son, just as He promised, His Savior to the world. It's good for us to remember whatever success this 2020 has brought you, whatever failures, whatever shortcomings, whatever disappointments, God is faithful to you. He loves you. If 2020 was a great year for you, maybe one of your best years ever, I don't know. The rest of us may want to yell at you and tell you to get out of here if that's the case, no. But if it was a great year for you at business, at home, God doesn't love you any more than he did last year. If 2020 was a year of setback for you, physically, emotionally, maybe at your work, relationally, God does not love you any less. The love of God cannot grow, and it never lessens, because God is love. Our part is to trust, to receive that love. God breaks into the world in a new and unusual way by becoming a baby born of a virgin. Therefore, we can expect God to continue to enter the world in unexpected ways. And here we have this new family being forged. Now, we know Elizabeth is a relative of Mary, so there's a biological connection there as they get together. But really, this text and in this passage points us to the creation of a different family. Because Jesus is not only born of a virgin, he is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that every one of us, the gift that God gives us is when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us it's the Spirit of God that enables us to cry out, Abba, or Daddy, Father. So we get adopted into the very family of God by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who fills us and enables us to know God personally, not just words on a page, but God with us, not on the outside, not just a story, but God with you, God with me, deep within our hearts, in our relationships, in our lives, permeating every part of us is this relationship we have with God. And God brings us together into one family, the family of God, the church, and we belong together in this family. God loves the entire world, and he's created this family, the church, not just to be an end in of itself, but for us to reach out, to share that love, to invite other people to belong in God's family by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. A simple message that we have as a church. I love that every Christmas comes, you know, no matter what we do, no matter what it's like, we're telling the same message. I'm experiencing that the older I get, it's that simple message that has more meaning and power for me. We don't recreate a new message every year. It's the same message. We say it every year as a church, and here's one way of saying it. In light of Jesus coming to this world, what I would declare to you today is no matter who we are, where we come from, or where we are at this moment, we are loved by God, and we are invited to be part of his family. This is the message. It's not just for us, but it's the message for the world. And this is what Christmas really is all about. It's about the faithful love of God in sending his son to call us back into relationship with him. God breaks into this world in an unusual way to bring about the salvation that we could have never brought to ourselves. And we need to be reminded that God desires us to know this love. I was reminded of the blessing of family. And I'm talking about family, the church family, this past week. Roxanne did a wonderful job, our office administrator, at going out and buying lovely Norfolk pines to give to our, I got in trouble for, I guess, calling some people seniors who are in denials, but we gave these beautiful trees to every family, every household with somebody 65 and older in our church, which came to about 48, which is pretty amazing. That's not 48 seniors, that's 48 households with a senior. And I didn't even know what a Norfolk pine was, to be honest. I hate to say that. I didn't even know what it was till Roxanne found this really beautiful, beautiful gift. And I had the privilege, along with others from our staff, but going and driving to so many different houses. And I have to be honest, I was choking back tears. Just driving, you know, I was amazed at our church family. We are spread all over the place. We really are. I was amazed at how many people. We have a lot of people who live right around the church here. I didn't realize that. And then I was amazed as I went from Roanoke to Danvers to West Peoria to Creve Coeur to Pekin, all over the place. North Peoria, South Peoria, all, just everywhere. And I was amazed at the love. Every visit, standing outside, every single visit, the smiles, the love, and just the fullness of heart to know that I belong to this. I belong to this. And you belong to this. You know, one of the things that I'm amazed is 2020, I've seen so many acts already in our church of just love. People reaching out. People contacting others. Kindnesses, generosity I've seen on such a great scale in our church family this year. And one of the things I want to challenge you to, I had one individual that I stood outside their home, and I found myself having a talk that I would have with my own mom, and I even said that. After my dad passed, I found myself telling to my mom, "You have to let me help you. You know that, right? If you have a need, I'm your son. It is a son's joy to care for his mother. Don't deny me the privilege of working for you." And I'd have to lecture my mom on this. "You gotta let me help. Nothing fills my heart with more joy." I found myself saying that to one of our advanced in years. And because I knew of a need, and I knew that there wasn't family near, there was no one to help them. And I started talking about that. And I just, it kind of dawned on me in that moment how wonderful, just the blessing of being so close to people that you're not biologically related to, that you love them deeply and dearly. That's the blessing of being a part of the church. That's what we provide that the world does not. We don't provide the best entertainment. You can go somewhere else and be a lot more entertained. If you want a good laugh, you can watch the Bears this afternoon. You'll get a good laugh. I'm sorry. I had to go there. So you can get entertained in a lot of ways, and there's nothing wrong with entertainment. But what we provide is this message of love, and we provide, by the grace of God, the ability to belong and to be loved and to be cared for. And let me tell you, if 2020 has reminded us of anything, it's that it's not good to be alone, is it? It's not good for man to be alone, Scripture says. And that's not just referring to marriage. We need relationships. We need family. And the reality is each and every one of us are going to face separation in our biological families. We do. Kids move away. We have to, one day, all of us, those who are married, we're going to have to part with a spouse. We get disease. We die. This happens. But in the family of God, you always belong. You are loved. You are cared for. And you belong. And you can experience the love of God with people, that the relationship becomes as strong or greater even than your biological family. That's why Jesus came. He came so that we could experience the love of God and share it one with another. So I want to challenge you in that. I want to challenge you to remember this scripture. It's the old story. No new message, John 3:16, and it's on the screen. Will you read this with me? "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's the message. It's the message we proclaim. We proclaim it this Christmas. We'll proclaim it next Christmas. Until Jesus returns, that God so loved the world that he would give his only Son. Some may remember and know the simple song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It's the truth of Christmas that we have. I want to invite you to think about that this week. When you gather with family, if you're able to gather, however you're doing that, I know in person, many of you will be doing that in person, some may be connecting from a distance. Remember that love that you experience with your family points you to this deeper love, the love of God the Father for you, that he's given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember as well, and if I could ask one thing, think about blessing one other person outside of your biological family. One person. Do you know anybody in your life? Is there anybody you know that's had a hard 2020? Is there anybody who's having a hard time seeing the love of God this year? Anybody in our church family that you know? Ask God what he'd have you do. Maybe he'd have you do something generous for them. Generosity of time, generosity of resources. Maybe he'd have you reach out. Can't think of anybody in the church family. Is there anybody that you know in your life? A neighbor, a coworker? And as you do that, remember that it's the love of God that has made that possible. And I promise you that he will fill your heart with joy. I promise you that you can't give away God's love to the point where you run out. In fact, the more you give away God's love, the more his love overflows in you. You cannot do that. Think of one person to share that with. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the simple reminder this morning, this whole service of your great love for us. It overwhelms us. It absolutely overwhelms us that you would love me, a sinner. You would love me, a selfish person who has pursued my own ways, who sought my own glory at times. You didn't just love me the moment that you first invited me into your family, that I first responded. You still love me today. Father, I would ask today that your love would be the defining characteristic of my life. Lord, we become known by many things in life. We become known by our jobs. We become known by our hobbies. We become known by all sorts of things. But the greatest thing we can be known for is that we love the Lord God. We love you with all of our hearts, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. I pray that when people encounter us, wherever it may be, that they wouldn't come to praise us for how good we are, but they would come to ask, what's different about you? Where do you find this hope? And we could point people to your love. Father, I pray especially today as we begin this Christmas week for anyone in our church family who's feeling alone. Lord, I pray that even in these moments now, that the stillness, Father, that they would hear your voice once again calling them, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter, I gave my life, I sent my son because of my great love. Father, I pray that they would hear those words and they would once again, even in the midst of what may seem to be a difficult season, that they would find great comfort and assurance that they are loved. Father, would you remind us that as we prepare and we begin to wrap up 2020, would you remind us that we are no less loved today than we were at the beginning? Would you remind us that we have not done so many great things that we are more loved? You love us with a perfect love that cannot be earned. And I pray that you would teach us to love people the same way you love us. Help us not to love just when it's convenient. Help us not just to love when we know that we will receive something out of it. Help us to love like you do. And we do confess we can't do that without you filling us through your Spirit with your love. Father, also we realize today that if there's anyone here today who does not know what it means to not just know you're a Father, but to call you Father, I pray that they would believe today. You said that you sent your son into the world, this wonderful gift. You loved us so much that you sent your son that whoever believes, whoever would place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will have eternal life. And I pray right now that if there's anyone who hasn't done that, Father, would they not respond to me, but they would they respond in their hearts to your Spirit that is speaking to them, Jesus, and would they accept this wonderful, wonderful gift of your love today? And begin a journey. Begin a journey of following Jesus, of walking every day, trusting in your love. Father, finally, we would ask as a church family, well, two things, Lord. One, We want to say thank you. You have been so good to us this year. Even in hardship, even in unexpected times, you have been good to us. You've been faithful. Father, I pray as well now, would you bring somebody to each one of our hearts? One person who's having a hard time seeing your love. One person who's feeling alone. Would you bring that one person to our mind, and would you show us tangibly, specifically, how we can reach out in a way that wouldn't be self-serving, but would give us the opportunity to say, you are loved and you belong. I pray for that so that Christ would receive all glory and honor. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing together.